In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today about training a child's will. And some of you who listened yesterday perhaps didn't get the titles of the two books that I was talking about, and I will be mentioning them again. One was Hints on Child Training by Henry Clay Trumbull, and the other one was My First 300 Babies. My First 300 Babies. Do you know any children who don't need to be trained to do things that they don't like to do? Some time ago, I talked about children's whining, perhaps the most difficult habit to break once it gets started. And I told the story of a father who spanked his child for complaining about where he was asked to sit in the car. A mother wrote to tell me that that simple little tale had convicted her of her own neglect of that very important lesson. Let me read you what she said. It was one simple comment that captured my attention, a little story that has brought peace to our household, and I just want to thank you. My third daughter was a shock to our systems after a melancholy and phlegmatic. Katie is a pistol, full of zest, sparkle, and life, and she was ruling the roost through whining. When you said, "Whining is a form of rebellion," and spoke of a pastor who spanked his child for refusing to sit where she was told in the car and whining up a storm, I knew it was God's rebuke to me for tolerating it in my own child. It took two spankings for the oldest, one for the middle child, and four or five times for Katie. But it worked, and I'm glad, and I thank you. Well, I would hope that some of you parents who have tolerated whining will realize that it is possible to have a peaceful home without whining children. The subject of this week is your child's inclinations. We've been talking about whether or not to allow a child to do what he's inclined to do, or to force him to do what you want him to do, or what I think is a far better method, training the child to want to do what the child ought to do. The force of habits is tremendously powerful. And if a child is trained to go to sleep with the light on, then he will always need to go to sleep with the light on, and that can be very inconvenient at times. If he's trained to go to sleep with the light off, he's perfectly happy with the light off. The child can be trained to sleep with the door open or the door closed, whichever you think is best. So remember that it is possible to train a child's will so that he's happy and content and secure in having learned to do the right thing, what you think is the best thing for him. If he would rather play than work, as most children would if given the choice, he can be taught to enjoy work, and then to realize that he will enjoy his play twice as much if he's worked first. If he's not a child who enjoys reading, of course he does need to learn to read, and you may inspire him to love to read by reading to him and by showing him how much you love to read. If he wants to play indoors when you think it's best for him to play outdoors, then you must draw him to desire to be outdoors. Point out the beauties. If it's raining, well, tell him how wonderful it is to play in the rain. Of course, use your judgment. Is it freezing cold and raining, then you don't want your child to play outside. But there might be times when he would absolutely love to play outside in the rain. If it's snowing, probably you're not going to have a difficult time convincing your child that it would be fun to play outside. Maybe your child is mechanically minded rather than intellectually minded, would rather work with his hands. Maybe he's a child who enjoys games and competition and group activities, or maybe he prefers story hour. And children certainly can be divided up in these general categories, can't they? My brother Tom always said that in kindergarten he would be the only child that would ask for a story when the teacher said, "Shall I read a story, or would you rather make Valentines, or would you rather play with clay?" Handwork versus brain work. You must know your child. It's not necessary to force him to do everything that he doesn't want to do. We're talking here about the wise thing, the best thing, the thing that the parent knows is best for the child. Then you must train him to want to do that. If a child loves solitude and shuns company, then he must be taught to be civilized and cheerful when there's company. If the child always wants to be in company, he needs to be taught the value of solitude and silence. And I would strongly recommend that you teach your children to have a quiet time every day. You who homeschool have a better chance of working this into the schedule than children who go to school all day and perhaps stay late for sports afterwards. You'll have to pray about these things and discuss them with your husband or with your wife and decide what's best for the child. But I think it's so important that people should learn to amuse themselves and to be alone without always having to be with a group or chattering away or playing games or doing something with other people. The point is that the child ought not to be permitted to follow only his own inclinations, but must be shown the right way and urged and prodded and helped to do the right thing. We all have to learn to do what we don't want to do. And pray, by all means. God's Word says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives to all men liberally without making them feel foolish or guilty. Pray that the Lord will show you what's best for your child. Be careful to know him, to understand his tastes and gifts. But the decision must rest with you. It's not all electives in a home, is it? There have to be positive limitations. And there's nothing more important than training to do what he ought to do in its proper time. Lars's father used to say to him, if you want to play, you got to pay. And this was when Lars was in his teens. If he stayed out late at night, then his father still woke him up at the usual time in the morning. And that's what he would say when he would wake him up. If you want to play, you got to pay. Get up early, no matter what. No matter whether it's fun or not. Jean Lush had a wonderful article in Dr. Dobson's magazine recently called Teaching Children to Work. I'm sure many of you read that article. And she told how sometimes her mother would say, we'll all work for 1 hour, in order to prevent the children rushing through a job carelessly. If she just gave them a job to do, then they might do it in a sloppy manner. So she would just say, we'll all work for 1 hour. And in that way, the children did the job properly. And if they finished it before the hour was up, I presume that she gave them something else to do to fill out the hour. The measure of a child's ability to do this is the measure of his practical efficiency in whatever sphere of life he is to work. Now remember, it will be your responsibility to increase your child's efficiency in work by measuring the child's ability to do what he doesn't want to do. In this book, Hints on Child Training, Henry Clay Trumbull says this, no man can work always merely in the line of his personal preferences. He must do many things which are distasteful to him. Unless he was trained as a child to do such things persistently, he cannot do them to advantage when they are upon him as a necessity. Nor can any man do his best work as well as he ought to if he works always and only in one line. A one-sided man is not a well-balanced man, even though his one side be the right side. It is better to use the dextral hand than the sinister. In other words, the right hand rather than the left hand, but it is certainly preferable to be ambidextrous, able to use both hands. There is little danger that intelligent Christian parents or teachers will at this day refuse to consider duly a child's tastes and peculiarities in their efforts to instruct and train him. While, however, they are making study attractive and life enjoyable to a child, parents should see to it that the child learns to keep quiet at specified times and to be active at other times, that he studies assigned lessons, does set tasks which have been given to him to do, denies himself craved indulgences, that he goes and comes, that he stands or moves at designated hours, not because he wants to do these things, but because he must. Now, as of old, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That's a verse from the book of Proverbs. Tomorrow, we'll be repeating a talk that I gave in November of 1990 on the subject of spanking, a difficult subject and one which brought a lot of mail. I hope that the talk on spanking tomorrow will be helpful to some of you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.